I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
Hiya.
And Joe Branton.
Hola.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Very well, thank you.
Very well, thank you.
Good, good.
Yes.
Thanks everyone for joining us this evening. Loads to talk about, as always. Firstly, what's everyone been up to? Matt Knight, you've got a load of new things.
Yeah, I got some stuff for doing some work, which was quite good. I like getting paid in stuff rather than getting paid in money, because money's boring. Yeah, I got a Boss VB2W, which I think I briefly mentioned last week, and I did a little live Periscope on it yesterday.
I saw you did
not Periscope, little live Facebook video.
Facebook Live in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum.
Yeah, and it didn't come out too bad. I think I need to get some sort of little interface for the iPhone, just to kind of make the sound a bit clearer.
I thought it sounded okay. The funniest thing about the whole video was your intro, where you'd already put the camera on the tripod, and your little head, sort of like a thumb over the lens, was like poking out of the corner. I thought it was yeah. It was funny. Everyone should just watch it just for that.
I was basically trying to work out the best way to, because it obviously you have to try and like screw it into the tripod, and I was like, I don't want to have to like screw it into the tripod while the video's going. That's just weird. But also the lighting's not fantastic. But I'll work out something to make it look better and sound maybe slightly better.
Here's my tip, because I did watch a bit of the video. Maybe if you're demoing the VB2, for example, put the camera near the VB2 so you can actually see the VB2. I do like seeing the whole pedal board, and I understand that you're very proud of it, but I think if the key thing in the video is the VB2W, focus on the VB2W.
Yes, I will
advice
do that next
from
time.
Mark Peckham.
You know, I've made a few videos in my time.
So what did you do, Matt? Did you live stream it on the group?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, watched by 68 people, a whole 68.
Nice.
It was great.
I caught the very end.
Can you watch it again now?
You can. Still watch it. It's now on the Facebook group now. Yeah, definitely.
Checking out. I was trying to. I think I caught it because it was like what, 15 minutes long or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I caught you just at the end. I was in the toilet when it started.
Nice.
Not when it started, but I was in the toilet. And
you were watching it on the toilet.
No,
the toilet.
That's the thing, is like I wasn't, because I kind of felt a little bit uncomfortable watching something live. It's kind of different if you're watching a video, but the fact that it was happening live whilst I was in the toilet, I thought was just a little bit like, I just wanted.
You could have commented live. You could have been like, I am on the toilet live.
Mate, this is like, you've got that real like ploppy sound out of that VB2W, like real.
You could have started some sort of rival live stream, just see who gets the most viewers. Oh, I've got an amazing idea to tell you boys about and to tell the listeners about. Let's do it at the end of this intro section. An amazing idea.
Okie dokie.
Which I'm gonna, yeah, don't, I'll tell you about it at the end. Remind me.
Oh man, wow. So I hope this is good.
It is gonna be good. So okay. Matt Knight, how are you getting on with your stuff?
Yeah, good. VB2 is awesome. Like, it's seriously impressive. Because it's analog, and it sounds like the old ones, and it just sounds so, like, rich and warm, and it's like, you know how vibrato pedals can generally be, like, either extreme or just, yeah, a bit too unusable? This sounds, like, really natural. Just, like, a nice bit of, like, warped kind of tape sound to everything.
I think in the as we kind of recently lost Prince, it was pretty cool to hear your guitar basically sound like the Purple Rain guitar, which I think is also VB2, right?
Yeah, I think he used a VB2 or used a CE2, but I mean the circuits are very similar. But I tell you the one amazing thing about that and the DM2W is like the slight boost you get to the signal.
Okay,
like they just add this warmth that you turn it off and you're like, ah, and it's just the buffer in it. It's just so good that you're like, ah, that makes everything sound better. So yeah, it's I kind of like ended up having it on for about an hour, just like not turning it off and being like, oh, now everything doesn't sound as warped as it did before. Kind of nice with that little bit of. I can see what they were going for when they designed it originally. Like, ah, oh, who needs to bend the strings? This pedal will do it for you. And I can see why it was a failure because of that. But now I think the way that pedals have changed, like, it's so much more of a usable product now because people have kind of gone, oh, that's what I can do with it.
Yeah.
I suppose, but Roland's always had stuff like that, you know, like the 303, you know. The 808 and the drum accompaniments were supposed to be like drum and bass accompaniments for solo guitarists.
Until
someone bought one and went, oh yeah, it sounds really good. I've started house music.
Yeah, by accident. So I've been doing some research for a video that I'm working on about the history of the wah pedal. And if you're into the history of that, it's pretty amazing. Basically, Vox bought... Oh, no, a company in America called Warwick Electronics bought the right to make Vox amps in the US. And they took the Super Beetle amp, which is an all-valve combo, and were making a transistor one. And they went, oh, this would sound great for, like, saxophone and trumpet and stuff. So they called it something like the Amplifonic something or other. And this will all be in the video properly when it actually comes out on the YouTube channel. But it was, yeah, the Amplifonic Orchestra, that was it. But one of the other products they wanted to make was they wanted to make basically a foot-controlled mute to replicate the sound of, like, putting a mute on the end of a trumpet. And, yeah, one of the engineers basically kind of did it by accident by putting, like, a mid-range pot into an old Vox volume pedal. And that was kind of the birth of the wah, and it came out like that's why Clyde McCoy is on there, is on the Vox wahs, or is known for being, you know, associated with Vox, is not because he's a guitarist, but because he's a trumpet player. And
I think that's
interesting.
Yeah, people assume that that's what you were going to use it for, is to be like a foot controlled mute for amplified trumpets, and then you'd go from your trumpet into the wah, and then into this new Vox Amplifonic Orchestra amp. But yeah, and then at the same time, guitarists started picking it up, and the lead designer was like, you know, this sounds way better on guitar, but because Vox had already, or because Warwick Electronics, I think they were called, had already worked out their plan for this entire range of orchestral stuff, they were like, no, when it comes out, Clyde McCoy's on the box, and we're going to market it to brass and woodwind. But then, crucially, the Thomas Organ Company, who are a subsidiary of Warwick Electronics, made the first Crybaby at the same time. So they were like, okay, this is
completely separately.
So because they were a subsidiary, they were making two products and marketing in a slightly different way. And by the sound of it, from what I can research, they kind of marketed the Crybaby then for guitarists, but crucially didn't trademark the name Crybaby.
So which is why Jim came along.
I don't know exactly how it transitions to Dunlop, but I've seen a couple actually. I had some friends who had like vintage Crybaby wahs that weren't made
by Dunlop.
No, they were made by Jennings in Italy. Yeah. I think the early ones weren't they?
Yeah, all the stuff is made in Italy. By I think is the company.
Yeah.
J-E-N.
What, the company that used to make synths?
Oh, I don't know. But
they did make synths as well at some point.
Famous SX-1000.
I think the weird thing is that at that time when these new pedals were coming out, like, companies also released mail order vinyl that just demoed the sound of those pedals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What?
Which I think is amazing. Just like a fella playing wah pedal for like 10 minutes on one side of a record, just being like, check out this new product.
There's a great, I can't remember exactly what instrument it is going through it, but the Gibson Maestro Fuzz, Gibson released a 7-inch record with it of people, you know, with posh voices like, and now it's the cello accompaniment played through the Maestro Wah. And then it's like a cello, Maestro Fuzz. There's a cello played through the fuzz. Sounds amazing.
That's the thing, because fuzz pedals were initially designed or marketed at jazz players.
Yeah.
Because they were like, add a new tone to your jazz. And it's like, jazz players are like, I don't want to use this.
Yeah.
It was like so unjazz. This is pointless. But yeah, I mean, talking about the other thing I was looking at this week in terms of like old school products was this. I've been following this company called Clouds Hill Effects, which is based out of a studio in Germany, and they've built the first ever floppy disk delay.
Yeah, I saw you post up about this.
Yeah, I did. I posted up about this, it. And I was like, oh my God, I want one of these delay pedals. And they were like, oh, we're only building them in small numbers. I like emailed them and stuff. And they were like, oh, we're only going to build 30. And the first 10 are £2,000.
What?
And the following 20 are £1,500.
What? So
I was like, that is ridiculous. I mean,
how is it working? Is it reading and writing to the floppy disk at the same time?
It's, as far as I can tell, they put up a really, really good video on like kind of how it works. But I think it's it's basically the signal is written to a disk by magnetizing record head and then replayed and erased by two reproduction heads. And one erase head of a cassette player. So I'm assuming it's doing something. Yeah, it looks inside like the old Binson Ecorex. It used to write onto like a magnetic, like drum.
Okay.
So I think it does something very, very similar to that. But there's only one guy building this out of the studio, and apparently it takes ages to make just one. But the amount of effects they've got on it, it's quite cool. You can like have the delay, but you can then break the actual tape machine, so it stops the whole thing from turning, so you still go through like all the preamp, but then you get like no delay. You can add in like random error simulation as well, so it like faults the disk drive as it's playing,
right,
to give you all these kind of like weird effects.
Does that then like, sound like modem noise?
Yeah. I mean the video,
like old startup?
It's, yeah. That would be quite cool. I'd be up for a pedal that did that sound. But yeah, it's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a delay pedal.
Presumably, you
like,
only
I'd
get
imagine
like
if you had a studio, it would probably be good. But £2,000 is a lot of money.
Really, or is it just the novelty?
It's a novelty. It's a novelty thing. Yeah, totally.
I don't know. I reckon it'd be. I like, especially in a studio. Like now, how sort of tape's coming back, and you've got companies like T-Rex doing the Replicator, and you've got Full Tone doing the Solid State Tape Echo. Like, it gives you a sound that you're not going to get from anything else.
But it's not. But it's like a digital version of that sound. Like, it's not. It'll be
no. The like old tape, like the Full Tone Tape Echo and the Dan Electro, not the Dan Electro, the T-Rex. The Replicator, the tape machine.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all like analog tape, aren't they?
Yeah, but the floppy disk isn't.
No, it's analog.
Yeah. Floppy
disk. It's not digital.
Yeah, yeah.
It's analog.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing digital about it. It's right. It's 100% analog.
Right. What company did the candle
power? Which is what's so crazy about it.
What company
did the candle
power
delay was.
Was it T-Rex or.
No,
Earthquaker?
No, no.
No. Or
Matt?
Pigtronics, maybe?
Who made the candle powered Earthquaker?
It was Pigtronics.
It wasn't Pigtronics.
No?
The what one, sorry?
The candle powered.
Oh, Z-Vest did the candle driven. Univibe, which kind of makes sense because it works on a photosensitive or a light sensitive like LED, isn't it? So it's kind of like it's the same as Morley wah pedals, how they're optical. So you're basically influencing the sound of the effect by adding in or taking away light. So it works in a similar way.
Yeah.
Not that you'd ever use that live. I mean, that would be.
I wonder if they sold it.
It was purely a. I think it was purely a thing for their. They've been a company now for like 20 years or something like that. I think it was
an anniversary piece. Or something.
They have. We've got something about that coming up later on in the show. That's just quickly, Matt, before we move on, TR-8. How are you finding owning a drum machine?
Oh, it is excellent fun, and now especially sync it up to the Roland Boutique. Like it automatically syncs the sequencer. So I've basically been spending my time, with the TR-8 and then the Juno. In sequence, but then I also realized if I go MIDI out of the drum machine into the ES8, I can control the tempo of the ES8 from the drum machine, which in turn syncs all the delays and
nice.
All my other pedals.
Wow.
And then you can use the ES8 to then start and stop the drum machine.
Can
so
you?
Basically, yeah. I'll set it up properly and I'll do a video on it. But yeah, you can basically, because there's full MIDI programs on the ESA, in theory you could set it up so different buttons also trigger different drum sounds.
Yeah,
but that's pretty hardcore, and like record it live.
I want this to be your next live stream video into the Facebook group. It's just this mental setup.
Well, once I get my Roland modular synth as well, then
I'm really excited for you to get that. You should bring that down next time you come down.
Yeah, or you should come up to London and we'll plug it all in.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Jay Cross, you've had a busy week.
I've had a busy week.
You've been doing some gigs and, well, you've been putting on some gigs and stuff.
Yeah.
Any guitar highlights? Anyone playing anything unusual or any pedals? I know it's punk, but someone must have heard something interesting.
So I put on two shows. I put on a show on Friday with this band from Dublin called The Number Ones, who are power pop bands, just sound like the Buzzcocks.
They've got some interesting gear.
Well, sort of. I mean, we've spoken about this band before. They sound like a power pop band, so they use like 60s guitars, but like
some sort of Watkins, I think the guy was using.
Yeah, it was a Watkins, and last time the other guitarist had like one of those Vox teardrop guitars.
Oh yeah, he did.
But this time he didn't have that. He had some like pony looking, not very good sounding.
I thought it sounded good.
Like Les Paul type thing, but I think it was like an Eastwood Les Paul or something like that.
Oh yeah.
With a Gretsch pickup or something like that.
Yeah, no, that sounded good.
I saw him two nights running. Me and Mark went up to London to see him on Thursday night, and then I put him on the Friday. And on the Friday, halfway through, he broke a string and he borrowed my mate's telly, and it sounded so much better.
Right, okay.
When he was plugged into her telly, it just sounded so much better. So there was that. Well, and then the other show that I did was this band from New York called Iron Sheik, and they had a telly going into a JCM 900 and
classic.
A Jazzmaster going into a JCM 800. Sort of nothing really to report on that front of
classic
things.
Punk backline.
Yeah, those are really essential punk backlines.
SVT in some way, bass amp?
It was an Orange 1000 Terabass.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of modern version,
version
of the ubiquitous punk bass amp.
That's
SVTs are kind of gone by the wayside now. Everyone's got a Bass Terror or the OB series,
yeah,
I guess.
That's it. So it was that. What else was there? Was there anything else of note? Not really. No, unfortunately not. What, the opening band of that show, the guitarist, I think, was maybe using a JTM 45.
Oh, nice.
Sounded amazing. Just an SG into a JTM 45. That was really cool. It was quite a Marshall heavy weekend.
I mean, it's punk gigs, so yeah, it's bound to be.
It's so funny how genres are so, like you see a range of guitars in any genre, but everything's so amps, like punk is so Marshall driven.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, math is so Orange driven.
Well, and it was funny, so on the show that I did on Friday night, Chris, your drummer, was the sound engineer. And I think, like, I showed up and just sort of gave him the lowdown that on Friday night, you know, it was... Oh, yeah, man, don't worry. Like, everybody's sharing drums, everybody's sharing amps. There's actually no changeovers whatsoever. Everybody's using the same amps. Do you want a pint? And he was like, yeah, it'd be great, thanks. Yeah. Sort of didn't have to do anything all night. And towards the end of the show, he moved away from the sound desk and came and stood with me because he didn't have anything to do because it was all set up.
Wow, that's so much different than when he works.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So hectic weekend, but good fun.
Punking it up and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah, but unfortunately not a huge amount to report. The only thing that did come out of it was one of my friends was like, you should do like a pedal talk at some point, because like she was saying how like she doesn't really like going into guitar shops because whenever you have to like demo stuff in a guitar shop, you're sort of in the middle of the room. You have to play out loud. And like they just kind of want someone to like, they just want to go somewhere and be like, have like a workshop as opposed to like a guitar shop. So I was thinking maybe we might looking to setting up some sort of...
I've got some thoughts on this.
That's what I'd love to do. Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine having a shop where you don't really sell anything, but people pay you for your time to talk to them about gear. That's the ultimate dream.
Yeah.
People come to you and you talk to them about stuff, and then you advise them what to buy, and they go and buy it from somewhere else, but pay you to do it.
Absolutely.
So you're just like a personal shopper, personal pedal shopper,
yeah,
Matt Knight.
I reckon that's possible, because I reckon you could be a personal guitar shopper for vintage guitars if you knew enough. Like, you could definitely... In fact, there was a few people I'd served before that did that.
Yeah, we know people who've done that.
And I reckon you could do it on a new level as well.
Didn't Andy people Baxter do that? You can go to Andy Baxter and say...
I want I'm, you. Can you find
I
me
want this?
This?
And he'll go out and find you.
Andy Baxter of Andy Baxter Bass.
Yeah, yeah. But he does.
He has some amazing stock as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he
yeah.
has and some amazing stock. Because oh, didn't he have the Stingray number one?
Really?
Yeah, wow, I think he had Stingray number one, which had a letter from the wife of the person he gave it to, saying, "Oh yeah, Leo Fender basically built this. This was the first one." And it was like £20,000 or something like that.
Right, wow.
Bonkers. Bonkers. Joe Brenton, yes. What have you been up to in the last week?
Well, I'm nearly done touring, which means I'll be sort of back 100%. I feel like my input's been down.
Yeah.
No one's noticed. No, yeah, cheers. Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm nearly done touring. I've only got a few dates left, like 3 more shows next week, and then I'm back 100%. But I bought some pedals, actually,
what
this week.
What have you bought?
I made some additions. I bought the Ditto, is it called the X2?
Right, the stereo.
Has it got
one.
Two buttons
yes.
or four buttons?
It's got two buttons.
Okay.
So the Ditto X2, I got it because it's got an option there. It allows you to reverse and or half speed on there.
Oh, there's a good little trick with that. You can use both without using the switch.
Oh, really?
Did you know that? Yeah, so if you turn it on and you're looping and you set the effects to half and you hit it once, it'll go to half speed. If you double tap it, it'll go to reverse.
Oh, that's quite nice. Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
So you can do your half speed and half speed reverse.
Yeah, it really great for an incredibly affordable little sort of looper for like live use. And if you just want something that's going to do interesting effects live, I think it's a great option. I did underestimate its size. Even like when I got sort of the box, I didn't take it out of the box until I got it home. And I think I just thought maybe there was padding in the box. But considering how small the Ditto is, it's massive.
It's bigger than a Boss pedal.
I don't know if I can get it on my board. Like, well, I haven't been able to so far.
You not put it underneath?
Stuff around.
Leave it on all the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's clearly
constantly looping in reverse.
But yeah,
half speed.
Yeah. Underestimated how big it is. But what a great sort of affordable little looper. What a brilliant upgrade from the Ditto. And
definitely.
The second thing I got was an MXR Analog Chorus.
Really?
The yellow one.
Blue one.
The blue that's one. The stereo chorus
I used
is the
to,
one.
Yeah, yeah. I used to have the micro chorus, which is yellow.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
the,
very,
they
very
do
good.
The big, they do a bigger yellow one as well.
Right.
Which is cool. That's cool, that one.
Yeah, yeah, really good. Yeah, I got it and thought I'm going to have chorus instead of reverb because I've got limited space on my board. And yeah, I sort of like tried
it
out.
On bass. I think I'd rather have chorus than reverb.
No, but
on
the
bass.
Reverb is
reverb on bass.
Yeah,
reverb like, on everything.
When you've got sort of like you know chill bits, it's quite nice. Anyway, I was wrong, completely wrong. So I've bought two pedals that I sort of put on my board for like a practice and then immediately retired.
The X2 is worth keeping, definitely.
Yeah, the X2 I'll probably keep hold of. I don't know about the Analog Chorus. I might take that back because I realise I don't have a meat box.
Yeah, you should get that.
So I might.
You've had one before though, right?
No, I've used them before, but I've never owned one. So I think I might trade it up. So I've been in a sort of peddly mood. I was sort of trying to, just trying to redo my board, trying to get a few things. I'm selling a few pedals as well. I probably can't promote that on
here. You cannot promote that on here. Do not promote that on here.
No, I'm not. Oh, but also, can I say I am on the lookout for something?
You can. That's good enough, yeah.
Yeah. I really want one of those old... Do you remember Fender... It's not old. It was maybe a decade old now. The Fender TV series.
Oh, the little basement TVs?
Yeah, the basement TVs. They weren't that little.
No.
They did a 210 and they did a 15-inch.
Mm-hmm. And a 212, I believe.
No, never a 212, a 112.
112.
Yeah, they did a 10-inch, a 12-inch, a 210 and a 15.
Okay.
500 watts on the 210 and the 15.
Okay.
Obviously prefer the 15. Completely solid state.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why do you want one of those?
Because they look incredible.
They do look incredible. I mean, really they certainly do look incredible, but I mean, you can't gig those.
Yeah, you can. Why not?
Definitely not. Definitely not loud enough.
Really? Do you
two boxes are too small.
Do you think?
If you were in like a classy little jazz band or a wedding band that was doing more like low key stuff,
yeah,
then perfect. For a loud rock band such as yourselves, yeah, Muse-esque rock band, you will you'll not get away with one of those.
Maybe the 12 then. Maybe just something for home use. But they look incredible. I've got to have one.
Yeah, they're awesome. They were awesome,
Joe,
at the time.
Yes.
I've got to say, actually, talking of bass amps and then Mark mentioning your band, I was listening to your record that came out last year. I've got one comment about it. It's not long enough.
which one? Which record?
Reptiles.
Reptiles?
It's not long enough.
It's 22 minutes.
That's not long enough. That's like one song.
It's an EP.
Is it one song?
I was a bit misled because there's six songs on it, but they're not really six songs.
No. The last one's one song, but the label told us to split it up to flesh it out.
Did anyone? This is slightly off topic, but did anyone see the new Radiohead video today?
Yes, no, I did. Yes.
The song is obviously utter pants. Because Radiohead are terrible.
You are a bag out of
water. You are an idiot.
It's exactly what you'd expect. It's Mark long. Packham's ponderous, doesn't really go anywhere, a bit boring, a bit pretentious, but the video is amazing. It's the Wicker Man redone in Trumpton, which is
really?
Is the best video that I've seen for years.
Barney McGrew, Cuthbert Dibble and
Grunt. It's not the actual characters, but it's basically
it's the same animation.
Is it any of them?
No. I mean, I'm not that familiar with Trumpton, but I know the style.
Barney
McGrew,
Cuthbert
ones.
Dibble and Grunt.
Yeah, let's say Dibble is in it.
Really? Yes. Oh, mate, I love Dibble. He's banging. Okay,
good. But the video is amazing. So what I would suggest is YouTube. I can't remember. Oh, it's called Burn the Witch, Radiohead. Turn the sound off and watch the video with a cool band like, I don't know, Screeching Weasel, Dillinger 4, Random Heroes, someone like that. Playing. And enjoy the video. It's good.
One thing that I did, because I saw everybody getting really excited because Radiohead were deleting their presence from the internet, and
then the next day immediately put a video.
Because they deleted their website and they deleted their Tom York took himself off Twitter or like deleted his tweets and
see
stuff.
See what I mean?
And like
pretentious.
Well, like everyone was getting really excited because they were like, oh man, like it looks like they're about to do something. I got really excited because I thought Radiohead were like disappearing from the internet, which would be great. But there is actually a point to this, is that I was looking at, on someone was like, oh, Johnny Greenwood's like deleting his tweets and stuff. And I looked on Johnny Greenwood's Twitter and Johnny Greenwood's Twitter bio is just quotes from people who've said, I like your Twitter bio from on Twitter.
That's
and
weird.
he just like links to their, it just goes like at Joe Blogs, I like your Twitter bio, Johnny Greenwood. And then like,
throwing it out there, I don't think Joe Blogs is a real account.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
I was listening to that on the way home and I was like, I'm really surprised you don't like Radiohead. Because they are right up so many bands that you also like take massive influence from them. I'm just really surprised.
Have you heard that Johnny Greenwood's got this band that he is the conductor for?
Yeah,
now?
He did the soundtrack to There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And it's incredible. He performs like a four-piece orchestra. It's like him on guitar, and then there's like a cello player, a violin player, and I think someone who plays double bass.
Yeah, that looks really interesting.
It's just really good. They do like all soundtrack stuff, but he's done quite a lot. So he did the soundtrack to that film We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Oh yeah,
that's really dark.
Those are two really dark movies.
Yeah, and his soundtracks are quite dark as well.
Cool.
When I met him, it was probably the only time I've been seriously starstruck. I was like, "You are one of the reasons that I started playing guitar."
Were you
and
like,
I just didn't really know what to say.
Like,
and he was there with his wife and kids. I was like, "Oh my god!"
I really like my hero. Tilly. My name is Matt Knight.
I really like that band you're in, Muse. They are great.
I was about to say what you should have said to him is, "Look, mate, apologise for Muse, and we can all be friends." So this week I finally paid the balance on the Montreal count to five, Montreal Assembly count to five, which is annoying because I'm a bit skint and it kind of comes out the blue. And basically in the email he says, yeah, you need to pay for this right now, otherwise we'll just give it to someone else. I mean, it's probably the weirdest way I've ever bought anything on the internet. Like, you go onto his blog, or he'll email out, okay, you say, first of all, sign up for his newsletter, then he'll email out saying, I'm taking some pre-orders, but I don't really know when they're going to be done. So if you just put a deposit down on this sketchy website that I've got on Blogspot and through PayPal, just put like $50 down, and I'll email you at some point. And then maybe like 4 or 5 months later, you get an email saying, if you've put a deposit down, go to this sketchy Blogspot page that I've made and make sure you choose the one that says, yes, I've already paid a deposit, not, no, I haven't already paid a deposit. There's no, like, it doesn't, your deposit doesn't seem to be tied to...
This is good. This
it's
is
just
cool.
So
like,
weird. And then he, and then you, if you don't put it down, he basically says, yeah, there's loads of people after these, so just, if you don't put a deposit down, sorry, if you don't pay for it, like, now, basically, I'll give it to someone else.
I quite like that, though. I kind of feel like the internet has become, like... Like, buying stuff on the internet has become... And I realise that this might come across...
But, I mean, also...
It's become a little bit safe, and, like remember when
you
used
to... Oh, yeah, what
a
terrible thing that is.
No, but, like, you know, you remember how, like, it used to be... Like, when I used to buy, like... Nowadays, if I want to buy, like, a record or a T-shirt from a band I like, I just go onto, like... You know, you go onto their, like, their Bandcamp page or whatever, and it links you through to the UK version of their website. Or, you know, there'll be a company that is selling T-shirts on their behalf or selling records on their behalf as a distro in the UK. Whereas, like, you know, 15 years ago, it used to be like, oh, I really want to... Like, I remember when I ordered 1039 Smoothed Out Slappy Hours by Green Day, and I ordered it from Interpunk.com.
Oh, I still use Interpunk occasionally.
But, like, you know, I ordered it, and, like... 8 weeks later, the CD just shows up in your door, and you're like, oh, this is great. It's like, it might not ever show up. Maybe it'll show up out of the blue. It's great. I quite like that way of doing things.
So that's fine, but the thing that is concerning is that when there's two buttons that say, yes, I have paid a deposit, or no, I haven't paid a deposit, it's like...
The good thing is, you could now sell it on eBay for probably twice the money you paid for it.
I know.
I've seen a couple go on there, and people are asking ridiculous amounts of money.
I don't understand.
Them.
I'm going to keep it because I want to use it and stuff.
Yours will be etched 2016 on the back as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's the new one. Mine's etched 2015.
Nice.
Goodbye, a 2015 one, you know, complete the set.
I heard 2015 was a bad year.
Yeah. Auto-tune and everything.
Yeah,
was terrible.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Go get a 2016.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So the other thing that cropped up this year, and this is my big idea, and I haven't run it past you guys yet, hashtag World Cup of Pedals.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've been looking on Twitter recently, but a lot of people have been doing World Cup of. So people have been doing like World Cup of Cereal. The one I saw yesterday was World Cup of Arseholes, where they worked out who was the biggest a-hole out of a bunch of people. But what I want to do is World Cup of Pedals. So we'll basically set up some groups of four pedals each, and then we'll go through rounds of voting on Twitter to see who is the best in the world at being a pedal.
Okay.
So what I'm suggesting is in the Facebook group, we're going to take nominations.
Okay.
And then we're going to go over to Twitter, and there we will vote on who is the winner over the course of maybe... Nominations will start probably from tomorrow, which is Wednesday. And then maybe Sunday we'll have the World Cup of Pedals.
How are we going to split it up? Is it going to be like... Are we going to have like a...
I was thinking this. Should we
drive
have...
Drive section, a delay section, a reverb section, or, and a modulation section or something like that?
Do we go a bit more wildcard in the groups and have four completely different pedals?
How do you mean?
Well,
I see,
group A could be
a Crybaby,
Boss DS1, Crybaby, Marvel Drive 3, and a, Digitech Space Station.
Won't that just mean that the most bonkers pedal in each category wins?
Not necessarily, because,
I mean, out of those, I'd probably choose a DS1.
Yeah, or, so most people would choose a Crybaby, I think. I think this is going to be good.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'm into it.
So if you're listening to this and you've got a Twitter account, or if you don't get Twitter, it's going to be fun. Head over to the Facebook group first, where we'll be taking nominations, and then we're going to go over to Twitter and do the voting. I've just decided that this is happening.
Is this a really exciting thing that you nearly like?
We're going to decide what's the greatest pedal ever in the World Cup of Pedals 2016. What could be exciting than that?
It's the Boss RE20.
No, I'm not even going to enter it.
What are you talking about? You're not going to enter it?
Definitely don't enter it.
Did not qualify.
What are you talking about?
Didn't make it out of its regional group stage, unfortunately. Sorry, J Cross. There was actually a sort of doping scandal around the Boss RE20. Had to be docked 11 points.
Right, okay.
And did not make it. I know this is your second biggest footballing disappointment of the week. So should we move into news?
Nudes.
So, a big bit of news first up this week. TC Electronic teased a brand new pedal last week, and we had some guesses about what it would be, and they've announced that it is the Sub-N-Up Octaver. Matt Knight.
Who correctly guessed it?
It was you.
It was me. Of course it was.
Good.
And that was without insider knowledge. I didn't put that on there. I had no insider knowledge.
Definitely. You saw the press release weeks in advance.
Honestly, they're very secretive these days.
Tell us about the Sub-N-Up.
Yeah, a monophonic or polyphonic octave pedal, which I thought was quite cool. They're obviously going like, wow, Electro-Harmonix have had great success making this this octave pedal. We should probably do something similar.
Isn't it surprising how few other companies try and compete with the Micropog?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe people have kind of just left them to it, or maybe Electro-Harmonix are being particularly harsh about like people trying to go anywhere near their designs. I don't know. But it's quite cool because...
gives
you the octave down and the two octaves down, so a little bit like the old Boss OC2, but you've got the choice of because the OC2 does the same, but you've got the octave up, which is nice. You can have one or the other. Tone print, which is kind of cool because you can then set how... I think you can actually... I don't know if you can set the pitch between zero and obviously one octave down or up, but you can kind of tweak the octave sound. I think you can tweak all the EQ, so if you're using it on bass, you can maybe stop it from sounding like overly subby, which we were talking about I think last week when I was saying that someone was trying to put an octave down on a guitar already tuned to baritone tuning and it sounded really naff. I think with this you can then alter the EQ, so obviously it would sit in the mix much better. And if you want that kind of classic, Boss OC2 sort of sound, it does monophonic mode rather than a kind of Electro-Harmonix sort of polyphonic 12-string sort of thing.
That's great.
I think it's going to be really good. Sub £100 as well.
Really?
Is it?
Yeah, I think they're going to be about £95.
Wow. Will this take the Micropog off of its mantle? But I mean, managing to undercut the pedal by that much...
The only downside I can see is no dry output.
Oh, really?
Which I think is a bit of a shame.
We can't blend the dry signal.
You can blend the dry. You've got a dry volume, but you've got no direct output.
Yeah, okay.
Which is weird because a lot, obviously TC pride themselves on true bypass and analog dry through. So a lot of the pedals that are like, obviously, say that you when it's off, your pedal's going right through. And I thought, well, if they do that, then adding the, the direct out would have been an obvious choice.
Weird. Yeah,
definitely. It has got an expression in though, hasn't it?
No, I think it's just in and out.
Really? I'm sure. I swear I saw a video with the expression connected.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
There's no other expression pedal in. And actually, the funny enough, when this came out, I was like, they still haven't done a trem.
Oh,
I was like, I'm sure there must be like a trem at some point, but they've still not done a trem, which I find weird. But that's another thing. But I have got high hopes for this. I reckon it's going to sound really good.
Do you know?
Really good.
So my thoughts on this are that it's a bit of an interim release until they do other stuff, because the Sub and Up has featured already as a tone print on the bass amps.
Yes.
So there's not quite as much like R&D, I guess, that's gone into this as if it was a brand new pedal. They're kind of working with something that already exists.
Well, the same. I mean, the crazy thing about the TC pedals, the same as the New Neighbor pedals, is that the Hall of Fame, the Flashback, they're all the same unit inside. They're just pre-programmed and then locked, so you can't change what they are.
Yeah.
So if there was some way that you could, like, jailbreak the TC pedal, you could effectively load any tone print into it. But it's funny because the other day someone plugged in the G system and it made me realise how dated it sounds compared to other things on the market. It was a great unit, like the qualities are, you know, the quality of the effects are really nice, but the unit itself is rather large and kind of feels sort of quite dated. I mean, it's probably 10 years old now, nearly 10 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of did something Eventide H9 Line 6 M5-esque. You know, they're doing their Flashback
Explore. That'd be a nice move.
I think it would be a cool move for them to do that, because I think maybe not go down the, like, the weird pedal board route that like Sans Amp have done and T-Rex did with like the Soulmate, where you've got like five pedals in one board, because that sort of doesn't work. Like, people are like, no, I'd rather have like one pedal that does one sound at a time with 100 presets, or I'd rather have five individual pedals.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like you say, like something like an H9 that encompassed like all of the TC tone print stuff would be really good.
I reckon that's something like that's got to be. Or even, yeah, doing like an X4, and then you can put four different pedals into it. I don't know. I suppose maybe in a way you kind of, then if someone bought that, then it'd be like, well, why would I buy a Flashback and a Hall of Fame and things like that as
well?
Yeah,
definitely, definitely. Joe Branton.
Yes.
Tell us about the Nordstrand Big Blade bass pickup.
Well,
finally some bass news.
Yes, a little bit of bass news. Well, Nordstrand, the pickup brand that I guess all bass players know and love, Nordstrand very much have kind of taken the mantle for, I guess, what everyone thinks of as being the best bass pickups you can purchase at the moment. They've sort of taken that from, I guess, Bartolini in that sort of that area of real sort of hi-fi pickups. So Ibanez use Nordstrand on all their high-end stuff.
Do and they have, switch from Bartolini's?
Yeah, Bartolini now only appears on their sort of mid-level range, and Nordstrand on their high-end stuff. But Nordstrand have made massive inroads with more rock players recently. My favorite bass player, Juan Alderet, uses Nordstrands on a couple of his P basses. Actually, he lives down the road from the fella who designed them. Yeah, so whether that has something to do with it, I don't know. But nonetheless,
I just imagine a sort of like home improvement style situation where he just looks over the fence.
Exactly. I imagine
what you made? Oh, just some new pickups. Try them out.
I imagine it is exactly like that. But yeah, so Nordstrand sort of coming across and trying something a bit more like, a bit more within the market that I think Seymour Duncan have sort of tied up in their Big Blade pickups. So bladed pickups aren't anything new for bass. In fact, if anything, it's quite a dated concept, something that was rife in the 80s with... the names escape me. With
EMG?
No, not EMG. The other big one.
Demarzio.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So bladed pickups are still sort of
even
something
on bass. Demarzio do some bladed stuff on bass.
Very much so. Yeah,
really?
They do
okay.
A whole bladed range, in fact, of jazz bass pickups, P bass pickups, and of course Demarzio do the Billy Sheehan set, which are in fact bladed. They're just not the blades aren't visible.
I was just thinking that you've not mentioned Billy Sheehan for quite some time.
There you go. There's
Wayne Alderette has kind of taken over your...
Yeah, he has a bit taken your heart. There you go. I just got a little,
okay, you
a
got
little
on both
Billy
in.
Sheehan plug-in. Yes.
You're
you
sandwiched
go.
Between
you know
them
it's
both.
Base news when I'm talking about Billy Sheehan and
yes.
Juan Alderette.
Yeah, it's
even
finally...
though neither player play this particular range of pickups that yeah. we're talking about.
In yeah, it's been quite some time since there's been some base news and that's quite some true. Time since I've seen you this animated.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm trying. The Nordstrand Big Blade... base pickups then. So they are Nordstrand's stab at the sort of quarter pounder style pickup that Seymour Duncan do. So the idea is accentuated low end and mid range due to those sort of extra large pole pieces. And yeah, this is their super aggressive, super loud, high gain pickup. A great alternative, I think, if you want to try that sort of thing, if you're not concerned about cleans, I made that if they're anything like quarter pounders, I made the in
chunky.
Hindsight mistake of putting quarter pounders in my precision base, and they just prevent me from getting any form of clean tone out of the instrument. So if clean is not what you're after, then you know what better than going for probably the best bass pickup manufacturer around at the moment, the Nordstrand Big Blade bass pickups.
Man, earlier you mentioned that Zvex are 20 years old this year, and
yes.
They have released a pedal this week to celebrate that fact, the 20th anniversary Fuzz Factory. How is it any different? Is it any different?
It is not actually any different inside, but they're only making 25.
You think they'd make 20 for the anniversary?
Yeah, I know, which is weird. Which is weird. Yeah, 20th anniversary, we've made 25. Which bizarrely isn't as limited as some of the other ones they do, but this one does come with a hand screen printed envelope with certificate signed by the artist and Zachary Vex. And yeah, I suppose it's kind of maybe more of a collector's item than anything else. But
that's a shame they haven't made
more of a deal
of it. I can't
believe that pedal's. Yeah, I can't believe that pedal's 20 years old. Like,
you
know,
crazy.
It's sort of. It was one of those pedals that sort of. Started the kind of new boutique sort of revolution, really.
And it's such a progressive
he built a
sounding.
He basically took him to, I think, Manny's. Yeah, I mean,
wow,
you know, this
well
that fuzz pedal has been used on so many, you know, so many records, and is so out there. And I think one of those things that's almost never been matched, but effectively a modified fuzz face. But yeah, I think he took it to Manny's in New York, and then I can't remember who bought one. Like a really famous player bought one, and then it just kind of like snowballed from there, and they're the company today that we know today. The weird thing is, actually, I think they've been relatively quiet the last couple of years, and they've sort of released a few products, and I think it's difficult because there's so many. For a time, they were one of the only boutique pedal manufacturers out there. But now there's so many other people out there, and their hand-printed pedal, the hand-painted pedals, are expensive.
Yeah.
Well, you only need to go back like 2 or 3 years, and I think Zvex were the head of this, were spearheading boutique pedals. It is. I completely agree. It is strange how much of a back seat they've taken. And you're right; they charge a lot for their screen printing.
Yeah.
And I think that's seen a huge rise in the Vexter series popularity.
But that everything's. You know, it's, everything's made in America. Like the non-Vexa stuff is all made in America, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Which is, so is Electro Harmonix.
Yes. Yeah. And of course. Which is
£50.
Yeah, yeah. Which of course is the is always going to be the argument against the Zvex stuff. But you know, Zvex aren't making anywhere near the number of pedals that Electro Harmonix are. You know, it's just you won't get anywhere near that figure, but. They're a great company. They do some, and I think it's a shame because people only tend to know them for their very, very weird stuff, but they do some great, like, usable stuff as
well.
Yeah,
I mean, they did that. The one thing that kind of never took off, and they never really did any modules for it, which I thought was a massive shame, was the Invento Box, which was their kind of build-your-own Zvex pedal that came with basically a Fuzz Factory and a super hard on in one box with a 3 EQ tone stack. And they were like, oh, we're going to release loads of other modules, build loads of other pedals. And I just don't think it ever took off. And they still make it, but I think you basically have to kind of know a bit about circuitry and mod it yourself, where the original idea was you could buy upgrade kits throughout its life and then you could just like make it into other pedals.
Weird that they would do that. But
that's a great idea. That could have really taken off. But like when Mark Bass did their modular bass amps.
When Fender did the deluxe pluses with the personality cards, it's just
It never seems. It's one of those things that never works. Then
people don't want that. They want the finished product. Yeah.
But you know, they do a little. You know, they were doing the nano head before anyone was making valve heads that would become anywhere near as low powered as they are now. I mean, they do a half watt valve head.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first saw that, when I first started playing guitar, I was like, I want one of those, but it's really expensive. And now obviously people out there like Blackstar are making 1 watt valve heads for like less than £100.
Bonkers.
And theirs is still hand built and it's, you know, $500.
Yeah.
But you know, they were doing it way before other people even thought, oh yeah, low powered is the way to go. You know? And it's, they've definitely like had a very cool history of some awesome, awesome units.
Jay Cross.
Oh, yeah?
The last bit of news this week, you may know something about, but you may not.
Okay.
Whoa. Are we placing bets?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think I do.
I did sort of tell him to look it up before we started.
Really? I didn't hear you do that.
Bob Mould
has
released the Sky Patch Overdrive.
Does this mean all of our news has none of our news has involved either an amplifier or a guitar?
No, there isn't any this week. It's all pedal news
and pickups
and so, one bass pickup, but I don't count bass stuff.
So Bob Mould has created a pedal.
Bob Mould?
Bob Mould is the singer and guitarist of
Bob Mould at the moment
of Bob Mould. Yeah, but one of the greatest rock bands of all time, Husker Du.
Were you about to say Muse, Joe Branson? You look like you're about to jump onto the mic and say Muse. He was not the singer and guitarist in Muse.
He was, that's underselling it, underselling the other. He was the singer and guitarist of Husker Du, one of the greatest rock bands of all time.
And and Sugar.
And Sugar as well. Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's had, I think in like over the years, he maybe has like played in the Foo Fighters as well here and there. I've definitely seen at least one video of him playing guitar for the Foo Fighters.
And it's worth mentioning he's had a bit of resurgence in the last couple of years. There was a couple of years ago did a solo album and was on like Conan or something.
Yeah, I think with Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters, I think, was playing drums for him.
No, I'll tell you who it was. It is the guy who plays drums in his band is the singer from another band.
Okay.
Info from
that I've forgotten. But it's a band that you like.
Cloud Nothings?
No. Like a girl-fronted rock band who sound a bit like Lemuria.
Okay.
He's also in them, but he plays guitar in them and he plays drums for Bob Mould. Anyway, Bob Mould is a righteous dude.
Bob Mould is great and, like, I've never seen him. The only time he played, he did play a show in Brighton about 5 years ago and I was away and I couldn't go.
Okay.
I've never been to see him in London. He plays fairly regularly. But, yeah, so what? He's done a tripod. What, under his own name?
So, a few years ago, apparently, he hooked up with, I think they're called Tim Pedals, T-Y-M. Is that right, Matt? Is it pronounced Tim?
Tim, yeah, because the guy, T-Y-M.
His name is guitars? Tim, isn't it? So
yeah, it's Tim, but T-I-M.
Yeah. Yeah, weird. T-Y-M, you mean.
No, Tim, who makes the...
Yes, I realised that. It's T-I-M. a few years ago, Bob Mould went to him when he was on tour because his MXR Distortion Plus was broken. And they released a limited edition pedal to tie in with Bob Mould's album at the time that featured some of the album artwork and was available and was basically a Distortion Plus in a box. but had Bob Mouldy stuff around it. His latest album, I believe, is called Patching the Sky.
Okay.
Hence the name Sky Patch for the newest pedal. And it's basically the same thing, but the guys at Tim Guitars have tweaked the circuit a little bit to provide, I think they describe it as like a slightly tighter sound.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. It's only available on his website, which I think is bobmole.com, but whatever. And it comes with a T-shirt and, I believe, a copy of the album. So
oh, okay, cool.
I thought it was worth mentioning because it is a cool thing. Obviously, a lot of people, you know, artists are kind of struggling to make money from music, what with streaming and the such. So doing things like this, where you get a copy of the album, but that's not really what you're paying for.
No.
You're paying for the pedal. Is a really cool way of releasing an album, I think.
That is cool.
And again, it's limited edition. Matt, have you got the info there? How many numbers?
200 no, so it's $250.
Yeah.
I did read somewhere, I think they're making like 100 or 200. The photos look like they made a lot.
Okay.
But I've just clicked on a link to say go here to buy, and it says this item is no longer available.
Oh, so
they may well
out.
Have already sold out.
Yeah, this news only came out a couple of days ago, so whether they've sold out or whether it's not up on the site yet, I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was interesting because, you know, we've had a few artists release pedals and stuff recently, but no one really under just their own name as kind of a way of promotion for their album. I thought it was a cool cool little thing to talk about.
That is very cool. That is very cool. I didn't know about that. I will look into that.
Definitely.
It's cool. That's his real name as well, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a pseudonym.
No.
Robert Mould.
Nice. That's a cool name, isn't it?
He's a good old boy.
Born to be a punk rocker.
Yeah.
Should we do some questions?
Questions. Do we have time?
We do. We've got time for a couple of questions quickly. This one's from Toby. Toby says, "Morning, fellow nerdlings." It's actually evening here, but, you know, people listen to it in the morning. So, anyone have any opinions / experience of Italia guitars? I've been thinking about getting an Airline / Eastwood as I'm after something a bit different, but came across these and thought they looked super cool.
Oh, that's so tricky.
J Cross.
Oh. It depends, is the short answer. Italian guitars are... My impression of Italian guitars has always been kind of the same. My feeling towards Italian guitars has always kind of been the same as it has towards a lot of those sort of 60s revivalist guitars, which is they're going to be a bit crap, but that's okay.
But they... Yeah, but I think with those sort of guitars, a lot of the time it is way more down to sort of looks than anything else.
And
I do think they sound good. They are going to play a little ropey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes they don't set up so well. I mean, I do think Airline are an exception to that. I think Airline are a really high quality version of this sort of thing. And I do think Airline and Eastwood represent a different mark of quality than Italia do.
But I don't know. I mean,
so interesting.
But some of the Italia stuff is quite high end,
yeah,
isn't it? Like the Rimini's.
I mean, one of the things.
Yeah.
One of the guitars I really miss was my Marinello Speedster.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. What a great guitar.
Because they go like mega cheap on eBay sometimes, but they're like a 600 quid guitar, and that thing like played. I mean, obviously I changed the pickup and stuff in it, but the actual guitar itself played amazing.
Yeah.
And I was actually just having a look at what they offer now because I've not sold them for a long time. And the Modolo Standard, with featuring triangle scratch plate, P90 and two single coils with trem in metallic burgundy, is one of the kookiest guitars I've seen in a long time.
They've done that model, I think, since they started. I don't know about in burgundy, but so it's like a Strat, isn't it, with a P90 and two single coils.
Yeah.
Marinello, do they also do that in lime green or slime green or something?
They do a lot of, I mean, they do a lot of colours I've not seen before. They do the Mondial, which is their like Les Paul with
maybe they do that as a face as well.
Because I went a couple of years ago when I was working in a guitar shop, I sold one of these guitars to a friend of the podcast, Chris Wilson, and he loved it, and like it was, you know, it's, and I played it and I really liked it, but it's like it is one of those things where you are sort of paying a little bit for what it looks like,
yeah,
and definitely the fact that it's a little bit different. You know, I feel the same about a lot of these, like Italia and Airline and like Dan Electro as well. I think Dan Electro are the big one for me in that, like, they're probably not going to, like, they're going to be a bit crap, and you've got to do a bit of work to them, yeah. But
They look great.
They're so unique. It's and they are super unique.
Absolutely. And it's going to be cheap, like relatively cheap, you know, in comparison to, you know, if you know, like you said, the Rimini, which is Italia's kind of Rickenbacker type thing. You know, you're getting the guitar for like a fifth of the price or something. You know, Rimini, well, maybe a third of the price. What's a Rimini, like 400 quid, 500 quid?
Like that, probably around
Whereas,
that.
You know, you're going to have to pay 1,800 quid for a Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's not going to, if you AB the two, it's not going to be the same, but like, whatever, man. They're like, they're great, really fun guitars. They're never going to be your first guitar, let's put it that way, but it'll be the sort of thing that you'd have, you know, as a stand at home.
The one, the thing that they
at
have
at least
over...
they make a sitar now, you know.
Yeah, nice.
They do electric sitars, so like the old Corals, which is kind of cool because those vintage 60s ones would set you back like a few grand now, but you know, if you want that sort of same sort of 60s vibe with the resonant drone strings, you know, 700 quid.
Nice. Amazing.
The one thing they have over like Dan Electro is that you get an awful lot of unique pickup configurations with, especially with Italia.
So
obviously
Dan
Electro always going to be the same Lipsy, which is unique in itself, but even things like I think it's the Mondial, the bass version of the Mondial comes with a neck humbucker much the same as like a Teddy bass, but then you get like a piezo in the bridge, and it has a thumb rest
that you can slide
up and down.
Little
things like that. I just think, the fact that someone thought about this much is
so dumb, but so good.
Yeah. Do you reckon there was two people in the when they were designing it? There was two people, and they're like, "I've done this. This is great." And someone's going, "Oh, I quite like it, but like, the thumb rest should be further up." And he's like, "No, the thumb rest is staying where it is." And they're like, "No, you should move the thumb rest further back." And someone else has gone, "Guys, slidable thumb rest."
Unbelievable. And because it's like a chambered body, that is just a hole into the body that you have to slide it up and down. It's bonkers, but I kind of love it for that. So what even was the question? Was it just
should he buy one? Yes.
Well, yes, but I do think Airline make higher quality stuff than Italian, but they are also more expensive. So
yeah, there's not a direct one-to-one either, is there? So whichever one you prefer, like the look of, go for that, because you're not going to get an Italia style guitar from Airline, and you vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. Italia once did a bass that was in a leather wrap.
They did. I played it. It was ridiculous.
It had four lipstick pickups on their ends, so one pickup for each
per string.
I almost bought a silver perloid sparkle work version of those, where top was actually perloid sparkle.
That is the best thing I've ever heard.
It was ridiculous. One last bit of feedback this week. Jerry says, I do guitar-y things, repairs, and very occasional builds, and listen to podcasts pretty much all day in the workshop. Oddly enough, until recently, I'd never subscribed to a guitar podcast. I rectified that and came in just in time to shout loudly and often at my computer during your last quiz episode. Then when I heard mention of internet news groups in episode 52, I knew I was home. So, thanks for that, Jerry. Nice to get some positive feedback.
Welcome,
indeed.
Jerry.
Hope you stick with us and do go back and listen to all the old episodes and stuff. Thanks for everyone for questions this week. facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. That's where you can send your questions. If you would like to get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week delivered straight to your podcast
ears.
I was going to say straight to your podcast catcher, but it's not, is it? Go through the Patreon app.
We're talking to you, Jerry, by the way.
Yeah, Jerry, mate. You know, jump on board. If you want to hear an extra half an hour each week, you can head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month, you can get an extra half an hour of this every week. And, you know, if a spot becomes open, you can get onto our exclusive executive producer tier for $10 a month, just like these lovely people have.
Mark Cross, Mark Rice, Rob Pierce, JD Short, Dave Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Moo Gravett, Colin Anderson.
That name that you fluffed halfway through, can you just say it again?
Who did I mess up?
Jack Godfrey.
What did I say?
Jack Godfrey. Free. You went Jack.
No, I didn't.
Did you? I? Did you muffed it?
You're going to have to check because I don't think I did.
No, I'm not, I mean I can't while we're recording. Just say Jack Godfrey.
Jack Godfrey.
There we go. Excellent. So for more of that, Facebook. For more of that, Patreon.com/guitar nerds. Join in the good chats at facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds, Instagram @guitar nerds, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Follow me @mark_random on Twitter, Matt @Matt_90, J@JAYBM1, and Joe @Joseph_900. We're going to be kicking off World Cup of Pedals from tomorrow, or today if you're listening to this on Wednesday,
or yesterday
if you're listening to it on Thursday, or 2 days ago. No.
Or at some point in the past.
We're going to start off on the Facebook group, so do head there and then follow us on Twitter where we'll be doing the actual competition. It's going to be awesome. We're going to find out who is the world champion of pedals 2016. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Cheers.
Farewell. Away with thee. About your days ye must go. Cheers. Au revoir.
You done?
Yes, done I am. Finished, kaput, capiche, I shall speak no more. No words shall come from my mouth forth into the world of podcasts.
Matt's gone.